Today's first lesson comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances, that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
So if this were a normal time,
not pandemic, I would invite all the children to come forward, but we will just pretend that all the children have come forward. And so I want to bring your attention to a line in something that Alice just read. And I want to bring your attention to this because sometimes we think, oh man, there's 10 commandments and how am I going to remember them all? And there's one major commandment. And it was written in here. See if you can figure it out while I begin to read it to you. See if you can figure out which verse I'm going to quote. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Later Jesus will tell us there's a second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But if we start with this one, this is kind of easy to remember. And if we remember this commandment, we will know how to set our priorities. So sometimes I think when I was a child, life was simpler. Maybe as a child, you don't think your life is simple. But let's keep it as simple as we can and remember that we are called to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, and with all our might. Let us take a moment for a quick prayer. Gracious and holy God, if I forget who I am, help me remember whose I am. Show me how to love you with my whole heart, with my whole soul, and with my whole might. This I can remember. Amen.
Second lesson, Luke 10:38-42. Now as they were on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Mary was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Mary, Mary, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is no need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which is not to be taken away from her.
Of God. Pam, 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 Pam. We need masks, we don't need masks. So thank you to Gloria. I'm looking at you, Gloria, I know you're next. Thank you to Pam and Alice, and we will also be hearing from Jessica and Gloria. So welcome to our stewardship mid-year celebration. I promise you that your reward for listening to this sermon, wait for it, is ice cream. But first, I want us to think about promises. The promises God makes to us, the promises we make to God, and sometimes the promises we make to one another. The reading I chose from the Hebrew scripture this morning comes from Deuteronomy, which in Greek means second law. And if you look at this book, you'll see it's a whole slew of laws and commandments and ordinances. And you might know that one version of the Ten Commandments is in Deuteronomy. It's basically a bunch of speeches that Moses gave. We're in chapter 6. And at the beginning of chapter 6, Moses is repeating the importance of obeying God. Now, in my study Bible, referring to those first verses that Alice read, those first verses, quote, stress the rewards of obedience to the covenant. So hang on to that word covenant, because we're going to come back to it. If you keep these commands, and if you listen, your days may be long, it may go well with you, you may multiply greatly in a land full of milk and honey, God's promises. So God has made a covenant with God's people. And we hear this word throughout the Hebrew Bible. Explicitly in Genesis 17:7, God says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you through your generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And then both in Exodus and Leviticus, we read in various phrases, you will be my people and I will be your God. I love that line. I'm just going to keep saying it. You will be my people and I will be your God. So these are God's promises to us. Well, what about our promises to God? So last fall, I'm here because it's Stewardship Sunday, so I'm hoping you remember that last fall, we got letters that encouraged each of us to, quote, make a covenant between you and God's ministries at First Presbyterian Church. I'm quoting from the letter. And at that time, we said, and I'm quoting again from the letter, this covenant replaces our usual method of pledging. It's a special way for us to connect and reconnect in our ministry together at First Presbyterian Church. So this is a quiz. Do you remember that the covenant had three parts? Pray, engage, and give. So we ask you to pray for the ministries of FPCY and to allow us to pray for you by sharing any prayer requests you may have. Do you ever wonder who reads all of those emails that go to prayer@fpcyorktown.org? Well, I wondered and learned it's the prayer team. And the Stewardship Commission has invited a member of that prayer team, Karen, to talk with us about her experience on that team. So, Karen.
Good morning. Okay, mask, mic, glasses, pages. My family and I have been blessed and comforted over the years by prayer. I heard there was a prayer team and I inserted myself into it. Maybe just before COVID, our Wednesday night disciple Bible study was in the habit of praying for others, jotting down names during joys and concerns. As a member of worship design at our longest night service, I had prayed with others. I was so nervous to do that, but soon discovered what a blessing it was to pray with and for others. There is a peacefulness that settled on me after I prayed with others, and boy, did I want more of that. Is that selfish? The Lord knows I'm a work in progress. Jesus set the example of praying in every situation. Realm tells me that there are 18 members of the prayer team. I did not know there were so many. We've never had a big meeting. There may have been a few setup meetings by a smaller contingent and then a problem-solving group when the kinks were being worked out of the technology. But now, when your prayer request is received at prayer@fpcyorktown.org, it is automatically, it should automatically be distributed to the 18 folks on the prayer team. It is my habit to look at my emails in the morning and maybe once later in the day. I deal with the nuts and bolts of my life, respond to friends and family, delete the garbage. Then I save the prayer requests for when I'm done with that daily email grind. It seems to me the bulk of requests come in on Sunday morning, but they are welcome anytime. I read each request. I pray as specifically as the email informs me. And if it is a vague or guarded request, I remind myself and God that God knows exactly what is needed in this situation, and I lift up the prayer accordingly. When I'm done with the prayer request, I move it into an online file I keep, and now and then we'll reread and pray again. And just imagine, there are 17 other folks praying as a result of that request, in 17 different ways at different times. So that is my personal experience with the prayer team. I'm aware that others on the prayer team have taken on added commitments. A prayer ribbon is filled out for you and hung up in the backyard near our labyrinth. There are deacons on the prayer team, so there might be a little crossover activity. A request may elicit other actions like card ministry or loaves and fishes or pastoral care. Joys and concerns are handled differently, although we have been working out a process to ensure concerns get a prayer ribbon if they don't have one already. Back when I started on the prayer team, early COVID, I was so scared. So what is happening? My hair was on fire, incredulous. I felt helpless. But praying was something I could do. Now there is less desperation. It has become a discipline, a commitment, a covenant. Thank you.
So now you know where that goes. We also asked you to make a covenant to engage, and I'd like to speak a little bit about engagements. So engagement is a very personal matter. You know, we have different gifts, we have different demands on our time, we have different obligations. We're a congregation of people at all stages of life, all different ages, and I don't have to say this, but I'm going to. We know the pandemic has had a very disruptive effect on our lives, on our schedules, our relationships, and we've found creative ways during this time to stay connected and engaged in the life of our church. Now, engagement might seem like a big word, but you're here, you're engaged. So engagement is attending worship, whether you attend worship in person or online. Members of the Stewardship Commission are participating in this service, for example, another type of engagement. The purpose of the Stewardship Commission is to encourage inspirational stewardship. And inspirational stewardship grows generosity and gratitude as spiritual practices to manage well the gifts God has given us, including time, talents, treasure, and the earth, terra. Each member of the commission is engaged in different ways as fit their current circumstances. And I wanted to spend a little time on engagement because I have learned that when people hear, we would like you to be engaged, some of you go, oh, wait a minute, I can't do. Everybody can do a little something. And we are, as Karen said, we are a church that believes in the power of prayer. We are a church that believes in the power of coffee. I just got a big, you know. So there's different ways, and engagement can be what you think is small or something bigger as fits your skills, your talents, your time at this point in your life. Finally, we invited you to make a covenant to remain faithful to your giving in the coming year, even as we all understand that many of us are struggling now. Part of our covenant with each other is to hold each other close as we work through this uncertain time, knowing that each of us will renew their giving as they are able. Jessica Mays and I co-chair the Stewardship Commission, and I'm now going to invite Jessica to come speak with us. Thank you. Okay.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk about numbers, but just a little bit, I promise. So we'd like to give you an update on our church's financial giving so far this year. As many of you know, we're in a very challenging financial environment right now. Markets are down, and so our investment income is down, and prices are up. But we're so grateful to report strong giving from this congregation. Our total financial pledges for 2022 are about $470,000. That's the full year amount that you all promised to give as part of your covenant for this year. As of June 30th, we received financial gifts and fulfillment of pledges of about $223,700. That means halfway through the year, we've received just a little less than half of all of the pledges that were given, about 47.6%. So thank you. In addition to those gifts, we've received approximately $11,580 in non-pledged giving. We have noticed a strong uptick in non-pledged giving now that services are back in person. So we also want to thank, in addition to all of our faithful pledgers, all of you who are giving generously outside of the pledge. And remember, it's never too late to pledge. You can still make a covenant. We have a tremendously faithful and generous church family, as shown by our strong capital campaign and continued steady support through the annual campaign. Now, because we are an ambitious and visionary church, we have a gap between our budget goal of $575,000 and our total pledge amount of $470,000. And because of the state of the markets, we won't be able to rely on investment income as we have in prior years. Connie's going to talk more in a moment about how to reflect on our giving at this particular moment. But first, I'd like to raise a couple of housekeeping items and reminders from the Stewardship Commission. Our online giving system allows you to give electronically through your checking account or via a credit card. If you use a credit card, there are associated fees. So if you would like the church to receive the full amount of your gift, please consider donating the fees as well if you're using a credit card. Also, if you're giving by auto pay through your bank or online, please be sure that your gifts are actually being processed. Sometimes the auto pay period ends and the gifts stop without the giver ever realizing it. We'll be sending out mid-year giving statements soon, so please keep an eye out, and if your balance is not what you expect it to be, it may be because your auto payments have stopped. You can contact Lisa in the church office if you have any questions or problems. So again, thank you for your generous giving. We're sometimes worried that when we give these updates and the financial picture is not 100% rosy, you might hear, thank you, but. And so we want to be very clear, there is no but. Just thank you. Thank you.
So now let's go to our passage from Luke about Mary and Martha. So Mary sits at Jesus' feet, listening to his every word, while Martha, and in my imagination, Martha's in the kitchen. I don't know. That's where I see her, in the kitchen, toiling away. This can be a very perplexing story. Don't we need to tend to our responsibilities? Who has time to sit around? In our call to worship today, we prayed, let us not be distracted during this sacred time. Distraction. Setting priorities. Boy, this adulting is hard. Hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. By the way, you may not know this, but that is one of the central prayers of Judaism, chanted every day, the Shema. Jesus tells Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. During these past 2 years, I guess it's been 2 years, right? A little more than 2 years now, I know that the one thing that kept me grounded was being part of this congregation. Even when we couldn't be physically together, we were together. Our ability to stream our services, as we're doing this morning, was made possible by our financial support of God's ministry in this place, along with a grant from the presbytery in the form of a connections grant. And the fruits of our capital campaign can be seen all around us, the lighting in the sanctuary, the new technology, and the audio that has made streaming possible. Now, you can't really see it, but we have a new roof. And we have solar panels. So that allows us to manage well the gifts God has given us. And it's also allowed us to be good stewards of the earth and cut our electric bill. There are other ways in which your generosity or our generosity has allowed us to prepare FPCY for the fourth century while living in the third century. You can see the details of the vision for our capital campaign on the website. As Jessica reminded us, we are a generous, ambitious, and visionary church. I love being part of this congregation because it allows me to be part of something way bigger than myself and to multiply my gifts. Am I distracted by many things? I'd love to tell you I'm not, but I am. But as I remember when Jesus says, "But Mary has the better part," I realize that God's abundance has brought me this far. The Israelites wandering around in the desert and in the wilderness knew that trusting God had brought them that far. Remember the manna in the wilderness? Okay, so it wasn't great. We know that they complained. It was the same thing every day. But for those of us who can remember the Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. In our giving, we are trusting God's promises to us. So friends, a covenant is a relationship. In the Bible, the relationship is between God and God's people, a connection. I have learned during this time of pandemic how important those connections are to me, to us, and I know many of you have that same feeling. So friends, let us renew, refresh, and remember our covenants with God, with the ministry of this church, and with each other as we look forward in faith, trusting God always. Amen.